I had someone ask a bit ago, I think it actually was a fellow preacher that asked this, but someone had asked if a person should be baptized if it was known that that person was living with his girlfriend, but not sleeping with her. Of course, I thought about it for a little bit, and if we accept that this is actually the situation, the problem remains that the neighbors and the friends that are in the world would assume that they were sleeping together. If for no other reason, then that's probably what they would do in a similar situation. In fact, most likely, if I sat down and talked with that young man and asked what this person would assume about somebody else in a similar situation, living with his girlfriend, he probably would make the same assumption as well. And the problem that we need to think about, what I'd like for us to consider today, is that when we are a Christian, we have to understand being a Christian is a declaration that Christ is our Lord and our Master. In Matthew chapter 10, in Matthew chapter 10, starting with verse 32. Therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. One of our duties as a Christian, one of the expectations that Christ has on us, is that we are to confess before other people who we are and what we do. Now that testimony, that confession, is not just, well, sure, I'm a Christian. That testimony is also found in our lives and what we do, how we live. How can a testimony be pure if we give the impression that we are sinning? Because sinning is breaking God's laws. How are we then to confess that Jesus is our Lord when we're going off doing things that are contrary to what the Lord commands? As Christians, what we should be is freed from sin. In Romans chapter 6, Romans chapter 6, starting with verse 1, it says, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who die to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into the death, his death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in the newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we might no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. The example that we are to leave with people around us is that we are people who have been freed from sin. Now, the song that we're going to be singing in a little bit as our invitation song is one that I thought of that would illustrate this real well. Every once in a while, somebody brings up a question and it's a song that pops up in my head, at least. And there's a song that's titled, Let the Beauty of Jesus Be Seen. And it's found in 392 in our psalm books. But the first verse says, let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. All his wonderful passion and purity. May his spirit divine all my being refine. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. Christ is our example. Christ showed us the way. In fact, that's what people have in the world come to say. You know, what would Jesus do? How would Jesus behave in this particular situation? Take a look at 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, look at verse 21. For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you as an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you are healed. You were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. Jesus is our example. He left us an example of how to live in this world. Not just in the dealing with suffering, but also in the dealings with avoiding sin, the living righteously. These are the examples that Jesus had left for us. In fact, in a prophecy about Christ, in Psalms chapter 85, Psalms 85 and in verse 13. It says, righteousness will go before him and will make his footsteps into a way. He lived in righteousness. He set the example. Now, just like the other day, Andrew went before me down through some snow. So I couldn't slip so easily when I was walking. He set a path. Jesus set a path for us that we follow after him. He set a path of righteousness. In 1 John chapter 2, in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6, says, the one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner in which he walked. The way Christ lived in the world, we ought to live the same way. Now, Jesus lived a sinless life, and yes, we can't accomplish that. We are going to mess up at times. And while we can't achieve sinlessness, we ought to strive to stay out of sin. Take a look at 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, starting with verse 5. You know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him sins. No one who sins has seen him or knows him. Little children, make sure no one deceives you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. No one who is born of God practices sin, because his seed abides in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. By this, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. Now, John's not saying, and it's a little more muddled in the English than it is in the Greek, John's not saying that Christians never sin. What he's talking about is that we don't make a practice of sinning. It ought to be the exception in our life, not the rule. And the teachings of the Holy Spirit, as we mentioned this morning, sent by Christ, the teachings of the Holy Spirit molds us and refines us so that we can live righteously. Going back to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. Starting with verse 7. It says, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to help you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. So the result then of the Spirit's teaching is, as we mentioned again this morning, we learn how to become like God. We learn how to become like Christ. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22, Galatians 5 verse 22, it says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Thus, how we live is how we teach others. Jesus, in his example and his teachings through the Spirit, cleans us up, beautifies us, then we too adorn Christ's teachings by the way we live, by the example that we set by following what Christ teaches. We make it attractive to other people to follow Christ. That song goes on, though, and says, when your burden is heavy and hard to bear, when your neighbor refuses all your load to share, when you're feeling so blue, don't know just what to do, let the beauty of Jesus be seen in you. You know, when we're talking about examples, we're not talking about just the good times. We're not talking about the examples always that we set, well, when everything's going our way and everything's going well. You know, when people are in the world are nice to you, they set good examples too. I know a lot of nice people in the world. And when everything's going well, they're very nice, kind people. But what makes you stand out as a Christian is, what do you do when things go bad? How do you handle the hard events in life? Looking back again at 1 Peter chapter 2. The example of Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Or 19, sorry. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 19. It says, for this finds favor, if for the sake of conscience towards God, a person bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly. For what credit is there if you sin and are harshly treated, and you endure it with patience? But if when you do what is right and suffer for it, and you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. Now, there's a lot of people that do wrong, and they understand they did wrong, and when they take their punishment, they take it well, because they know they did wrong. What if you're doing right and are mistreated? There's a whole lot of people in the world that just blow up. But a Christian is to set an example. In the song, though, what they're trying to talk about is, what do you do when you don't get any help? What do you do in setting an example when nobody else encourages you? You just say, I give up. Or do you think about what is the right thing to do? In Luke chapter 6, Luke chapter 6 and in verse 32. It says, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those who from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners in order to receive back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend and expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He Himself is kind to the ungrateful and evil men. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Again, think about the fact that we are to set an example that shows us being different from the world. It's not hard to be nice to somebody who's nice to you. But how do you treat other people when they ignore you? When they don't give you the help that you think you ought to have? There's where we can let Christ shine through us. Now, it's true, we ought to be bearing one another's burdens. In Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6 and in verse 2, it says, bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. We ought to be there for one another. But again, what makes it different is what do we do when somebody doesn't do what they're supposed to do? How do you behave when you get no help? Now, the song goes on to talk about not just somebody just not helping, but how do you do it when somebody's actively against you? When somebody has been so unkind to you, some words spoken that pierces you through and through, think how he was beguiled, spat upon and reviled. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in you. So we move from people who are ignoring you and not helping you to people who are actively trying to make your life miserable. In Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 5, starting with verse 44, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain to the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even tax collectors do the same? If you greet only your brothers, what more are you than doing than others? Do not even Gentiles do the same? Therefore you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Here again, we have the command to be different from what the rest of the world expects. Even when someone's actively trying to make your life a misery, you're to do good, you're to be kind, you're to help. It's not what the world expects, but it's what God expects of us. Again, we talk about the example of Christ. Going back again to 1 Peter chapter 2. We already read verse 23, but let's read it again. 1 Peter chapter 2. And in verse 23, it says, while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to the one who judges righteously. This is the example Christ left for us. Think about his trial. Think about the things that he endured. What vividly imprints itself in everyone's memory is the fact that he did not lash back. David also gave us an example in Psalms 35. Psalms 35, starting with verse 11. David said, malicious witnesses rise up. They ask me of things I do not know. They repay me evil for good to the bereavement of my soul. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer kept returning to my bosom. I went about as though it were my friend or brother. I bowed down mourning as one who sorrows for a mother. How did David treat his enemies? Totally differently than his enemies treated him. You know what? When it comes down to it, we talked about it just briefly this morning, this idea that we don't do things because of how our emotions lead us. We do the right thing because it is the right thing to do. Regardless or despite sometimes our feelings. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, look at verse 15. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and in verse 15, see that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. Other people return evil for evil. We always return what is good for that person. Not just our brethren, but for all people. The last verse of the song says, from the dawn of the morning to close of day, in example and in deeds and in all you say, lay your gifts at his feet, ever strive to keep sweet. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in you. We have to be different from the world. In Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians 4 and verse 31, says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. We have to be different from the world. We have to get rid of the things that are of the world. Yes, we were once in that world. But the example that we're to show is a way out of that world. In Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3, and starting with verse 1. Remind them to be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed, to malign no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing every consideration for all men. For we also once were foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. But when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us, not on the basis of what we had done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy statement, and concerning these things, I want you to speak confidently, so that those who believe in God will be careful to engage in good deeds. These things are good and profitable for men. There's what we're required to do. Be careful to be engaged in doing what is right, what is best for everyone. Showing a person that you don't have to be mean. You don't have to be rude. You don't have to push to be first. We got a world full of those type of people. We're living in a world that's getting violent and more violent as the days go by. Second most popular religion in the world, Islam, is a very violent religion. How do we show that we are different? How do we show that Christ's way is attractive? You might think I've gotten off the original topic. Maybe I have digressed a little bit. But we started out talking about when you baptize a person. If a person's baptized not knowing that he needs to be changed in his life, then he's not fully taught. It isn't enough to bring someone to the waters of salvation until they're convinced they need to change. One of the mistakes a lot of people make is they're so eager to have somebody claim to be a Christian that they want to get them baptized right now without them really changing who they are. One of the things you should consider and take a look at is in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 and verse 40. And with many other words, he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. So then those who received his words were baptized, and that day were added to them about 3,000 souls. Now I want you to take notice of that. Peter had already preached a sermon. In that sermon, he convicted the people that they were in sin. They had crucified the Christ. They asked, what do we need to do to be saved? And Peter's told them, repent and be baptized. But I want you to notice that this lesson didn't stop there. We don't have the rest of the sermon. But the sermon went on saying, be saved from this perverse generation. We have to change. Just because the rest of the world does these things and they accept it, doesn't make it right. We need to set the example. We need to show that we are different from the world. Because Christians are changed people. Take a look at 1 Peter chapter 4. First Peter chapter 4, starting with verse 1. Therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourself also with the same purpose, because he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live the rest of the time in the flesh no longer for the lust of men, but for the will of God. For the time already past is sufficient for you to have carried out the desire of the Gentiles, having pursued a course of sensuality, lust, drunkenness, carousing, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In all this, they are surprised that you do not run with them into the same excess of dispensation. And they malign you, but they will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For the gospel has for this purpose been preached even to those who are dead, that though they are judged in the flesh as men, they may live in the Spirit according to the will of God. The end of all things is near, therefore be sound of judgment and sober of spirit for the purpose of prayer, and above all keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. We're changed. We're different. The world might not understand, but we don't follow the ways of the world. We follow the ways of Christ. And it's our duty, as part of our confession before men, to set an example of how Christ would live in this world. So we should let the beauty of Jesus be seen in each of our lives. Hope you think about these things. If there's anyone here who's yet to become a child of God, there is no better time than right now to put on Christ. For those of you who are children of God, we'd like the prayers of the brethren on behalf. Why don't you come forward as we stand and sing this song? It was selected.